There's crispy. And then there's crispy-er. Try our new and improved Tyson Crispy Chicken Strips. Crispy just got crispy-er.
Touchdown, Jonathan Taylor.
LaMichael Pirine, tight rope to sideline. He's going to take it for the Gator touchdown.
Michigan, a big game.
He's in for the touchdown.
That ball game.
You get the sense there's a little magic this year.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to College Football Live. What a great weekend of college football it was. Joey Galloway, David Pollack, and his cowlick. And I'm Marty Smith. The game of the weekend was in Gainesville, Florida, as Todd Grantham and the Florida Gators defense dialed up a great game plan to confuse Bo Nix and Auburn into three interceptions and win that game of the weekend 24-13 at home against a top 10 opponent. Joey, let's get started right there. What did we learn about Florida on Saturday?
I think one of the things we found out is Kyle Trask is a tough guy. To take the injury that he took, come back in the game, came back in before the half, which surprised a lot of people. He came back out of the locker room, finishes that game, makes enough plays to win the game. And then defensively, we've finally seen a defense fast enough, athletic enough, strong enough to take Auburn completely out of their game plan, which they love going sideline to sideline. They did none of that against this Florida defense.
There is no – when I saw that Trask hit, man, I was scared for him. I felt so bad because we know the story and the kids waited so long. It looked like his knee was gone, and then all of a sudden he's back in there leading his team. I learned that Florida could handle adversity. That's what I learned. Four turnovers, their quarterback gets dinged. They just kept playing, and it was impressive to watch. Obviously, being at home was a huge help. The swamp was rocking, but they handled everything that came their way because, listen, you don't usually commit four turnovers in a game and win the ball game. That doesn't happen very often. So just kudos to Florida. Everybody doubted them. I mean, rightfully so. They hadn't showed us anything yet. Now they showed you that Dan Mullen and the offense is good enough, even with a backup quarterback, and they can handle anything that comes their way.
And that victory pushes Florida to number 7 in the country. Of course, they have a huge one this weekend in Death Valley as they head to LSU. That gives us the All-State AP Top 10 rankings. And there's a new wrinkle this week, guys. There's a tie. Ohio State and Georgia share the third spot. That's the first tie in the top three since 2015. And as I said, Saturday night on ESPN, number 7 Florida at number 5 LSU in Death Valley. And Pollack and the folks on College Game Day will be in the house for that one. So, guys, let's discuss this top 10. What do you make of the fact that there's a tie at 3, Pollack?
It's stupid. Why do we have a tie? And especially when we have a tie at 3 and then it goes to 5. That always annoys me. Like, who cares? Who's 4 then? I mean, I don't get the tie thing. I don't really care. You know, it doesn't really matter now, but I don't get the tie thing. But why is Ohio State so low? I don't understand why Ohio State. What have you not seen from Ohio State yet to have them as the number one team in the country? I mean, dominate the line of scrimmage. They got a dominant quarterback. They handled, finally had a little bit of adversity versus a pretty good Michigan State team and answered the bell right away and hit them upside the head with a frying pan. I mean, what haven't you seen from Ohio State for them not to be number one in the country?
I agree with you. I don't mind the number 3 tie right now. I think you sort of answered your own question. You say, what haven't you seen from Ohio State? I think the only thing you haven't seen is them go against a top-tier football team. Michigan State is an okay football team. They're a top 25 football team. There is one real team on Ohio State's schedule, and they see them in a couple weeks, and that's Wisconsin. And I think that's when you answer a lot of questions about this Ohio State football team. Up until then, anywhere inside that top five is fine with me, simply because we've seen Georgia beat Notre Dame, who is a good football team. We've seen LSU beat Texas, who is a good football team. And so that's the only reason to me that it really doesn't matter at this stage where these teams are in that top five. But we'll see moving forward where that is.
So, Joey, who have you seen Alabama and Clemson beat that's a good football team? You just gave me 3, 4, and 5. 3, 3, and 5, excuse me. Yeah. You just gave me 3, 3, and 5 who had quality good wins, but 1 and 2 don't have a quality win yet. So why can't I have those teams that have somewhat quality wins ranked over the top of the teams that don't have any?
You absolutely can. You just said, what haven't we seen from Ohio State? I was answering that question. And so if you asked me, what haven't we seen from Alabama, the same answer would apply. We haven't seen them play a top-tier team. And so Clemson, they did play Texas A&M, which is a pretty good football team, but we haven't seen them play their best football either. And so that's why I say, really, when you look at this top five, you can put these teams anywhere in that top five, and it'll shake itself out. It'll work itself out as we move forward. But if you do ask what haven't you seen from some teams, it's they haven't played a top team.
Another team still outstanding on Ohio State's schedule, of course, is their greatest rival, Michigan. The Wolverines with a big win against Iowa. They only scored 10 points in doing it. It was a tremendous effort by Don Brown and the defensive side of the football for Michigan, but a lackluster performance offensively. But don't say that to head coach Jim Harbaugh.
As I said after the game, I think I feel like we're very close offensively and very close to hitting the stride of hitting on all cylinders. Have really good evidence to back that up, and also what I see.
Okay, fellas, Michigan scored 10 points. They did win the game, but they scored 10 points in doing it. Coach Harbaugh says they're close to putting it all together. How close are they to putting it all together, Joey?
I mean, when you look at what all together is for Michigan, this might be all together. I mean, we don't know. When you look at this team, you think Shea Patterson coming back was supposed to be a top-tier quarterback. You got Nico Collins, Peoples Jones, Tariq Black outside. And so they look like they have an athletic group of wide receivers. But this may not be an offense that is just going to go out there and put up 50, 60 points and have those games where they put up 600 yards. And so this might be hitting on all cylinders to Jim Harbaugh. And as long as they win football games, I'm sure he's fine with that. It's just not the prettiest thing in the world to watch.
Okay, so first, let me give you a small peek into the small brain of me. First thing I think of, Jim Harbaugh is absolutely insane and he's nuts. So now I think he's crazy and I think he's lying through his teeth, or your team is going to be really sorry this year. Like, because if you're telling me this is almost clicking on all cylinders, you can't move anybody around at the line of scrimmage. Your defense causes 4 turnovers and you score 10 points. 10 points? You have 200 and something yards of offense. This is clicking on all, you're 3 for 13 on third downs. I mean, this is clicking on all cylinders. Lord have mercy. If I'm Michigan fans, hold on tight, because this season ain't going to go real well for me the rest of the way.
Hey, they might be driving a 4-cylinder car. And so if that's what they're driving, then that's what they're driving. And so if he's saying, look, that 140 some yards that Shea Patterson passed for in this game, And we found a way to win, that might be all the cylinders they have. Marty, you're a NASCAR fan. You understand cylinders. I mean, you can only go as fast as your engine will allow you. And if this is all they have under the hood, that's all they got.
That's a golf cart, bro. That's not a 4-cylinder. That's a golf cart. Batteries.
But what's the best version of that offense? How do they start to generate more points, fellas? Go ahead, David.
They got to stop turning the ball over.
There's a good start, but what did you just mention, Joe? You mentioned 3 receivers that are up there with just about anybody in the Big Ten from a talent perspective. Can you throw the football down the field? Can you take shots on the perimeter? Or is Shea Patterson incapable of doing that. Like that to me has to, we have to be able to say offensively, look what the University of Florida is doing. Their best playmakers are on the perimeter. Are they trying to run the football ad nauseum? No, they're trying to spread the ball out to their playmakers and they're manufacturing good matchups. Michigan would really do themselves well to try to do that. Whatever they're trying to do right now, it ain't working.
Coming up, confidence or concern about some of the best teams in all the land. Four of those teams have huge matchups on Saturday. Which one of those matchups concerns these guys the most? We'll discuss it next. And now for this week's Ultimate Performance presented by BMW. I feel like this is the Joe Burrow Award. I feel like he has it every week. He continues to light up scoreboards like a Mardi Gras parade. 14 touchdowns and zero interceptions in the red zone for Burrow this year. He is balling, man. Now it's time to discuss the Capital One fan vote. Which contender are you most confident will win this week? Is it LSU versus Florida? Maybe Notre Dame versus USC, Oklahoma and Texas, or Penn State at Iowa? If you want to participate, just go to twitter.com/SportsCenter to check out this week's Capital One fan vote and participate yourself. Now we're going to discuss these games with a little confidence or concern. We're going to start with Florida heading to LSU and the LSU Tigers. Joey, confidence or concern that LSU can keep it rolling?
I have confidence in LSU keeping it rolling simply because we're seeing Florida come off of a very tough Auburn game. And to be able to get up and go back-to-back and playing tough games like that in physical football games is the only reason that I have a lot more confidence that LSU can pull this off. Joe Burrow's been terrific, but this will be by far the best defense he's faced. It'll be fun to watch that matchup. I hope this defense is back up to par after dealing with Auburn.
By far the best defense. It's not even close that he'd be facing. And when you think about the other side of the football too, LSU's defense is not what we've seen them be typically. Now listen, once you run more tempo like they're doing on offense and running more plays and scoring more, obviously your defense has more cracks at the stick. But I think it'll be fun to watch this LSU defense. Is this LSU defense going to bounce back and show us what they've been in the past? Are they DBU? Are they going to be playmakers? Are they going to rush to get pressure on the quarterback? Is the back end going to hold up? Because so far, we've seen Joe Burrow and this offense be lights out. I have a lot of concerns about their defense.
It definitely hasn't been the defense that we're accustomed to seeing in Death Valley, but to their defense, they've been banged up a little bit. They did get Calavon Chase on back last weekend. Divinity's been banged up as well. So if they can get all those
guys
healthy,
they're the only team in America
maybe
that's banged up. That's it. They're the only ones, Marty. Nobody else has any other issues.
All right.
Hey, Jabari Zuniga, one of the best players on Florida last week, didn't even play. No problems. It's all good.
I like it, Pollock. I like the spunk, man. All right. Let's go to the Red River rivalry. Oklahoma, Pollock. Are you concerned or do you have confidence that they can beat Texas?
I would be concerned if I'm an Oklahoma fan. I mean, listen, I know their offense is going to show up and they're going to score, but Sam Ellinger is balling. I mean, he is playing. We talked about what he did to that LSU defense a second ago. He's playing confident. They have the ability, Texas, to run the football with him, play a little ball control. They're not going to turn the football over. They're not going to beat themselves. And oh, by the way, last year, don't forget, Texas beat Oklahoma in this matchup. So I would definitely have some concerns going this in. I wouldn't be pumping my chest feeling too confident.
Yeah, I'd be concerned if I'm Oklahoma for sure. When you look at, honestly, last week, Kansas put pressure on Jalen Hurts. And we watched Jalen Hurts hold on to the ball. Now, because he's a terrific athlete, he was able to get outside the pocket and still make plays downfield. But we do know, just like Pollock said, Ellinger is playing really good. And so even when we watched Texas play LSU, Ellinger was going toe-to-toe with Joe Burrow. So we know Texas is going to put up some points. This Kansas team came in, played Oklahoma pretty good for a while there, and they made Jalen Hurts uncomfortable at times. He threw an easy pick six that was dropped by Kansas defensive back. So it'll be interesting to see if Texas can put that same pressure on Jalen Hurts, make him uncomfortable, and see if they can make him make some mistakes.
A traditional rivalry as Notre Dame takes on USC, and Ian Book has looked really good. What do you guys make of this game? David, concern or confidence for Notre Dame as they take on the Trojans?
Confidence. I got a lot of confidence in Notre Dame. I tell you what, if you watch their defense versus Virginia harassing Bryce Perkins, he had nothing he could do. That's the defense, I think, rushing the quarterback. But more importantly, Ian Book consistently puts good performances together. He doesn't make a lot of mistakes. He scrambles around enough with his feet to always buy time. He covers up a lot of their mistakes that they have, and he's consistent. It's an offense that has an identity. Again, I trust a quarterback like Ian Book to show up every single week. It won't be any different this week.
At all these games, I have the most confidence that Notre Dame will be successful, but USC is just athletic enough on the outsides, and his Graham Harrell offense, throwing it deep, doesn't matter which of the three guys is playing quarterback, they go downtown with Tyler Vaughns, they got Pittman out there, so they're going to throw it deep. And so they can make any game interesting when they throw it out to these receivers, let them go get it. And so Ian Book's going to have to play well, which he has been playing very well since the Louisville game to open the season. And so to go on the road and beat Notre Dame at home, it's going to be tough. But if somebody can do it, then somebody who doesn't care is USC throwing the ball deep, and they got receivers that can go make plays.
Yeah, they do. And that's been, I tell you what, this offense, you always wonder when you switch offensive philosophies to a spread or to a air raid, and you know they're going to chuck it all over the yard.
Yeah.
I actually think their defense has been pretty physical for USC in the front seven as opposed to what we've seen in the past. So they could make it close, but I got some confidence. Me and Joey got confidence in Notre Dame.
I'm sure they appreciate confidence. That. It'll give them all the confidence that they're going to win that one. All right,
You're welcome, guys.
Penn State heads to Iowa. Of course, Iowa off a tough loss to Michigan last weekend. Where are you guys with the Nittany Lions? Confidence or concern as they head to Kinnick Stadium? Joey, sorry.
I have some confidence, not a lot. And here's the question mark for me about Penn State. Yeah, well, the only question, Sean Clifford's been great. KJ Hamler's been great. But we're talking about Sean Clifford stepping in for Trace McSorley. And we've seen Trace McSorley in big games make big plays. So we've seen Sean Clifford go against Idaho and Buffalo and Pitt, Maryland, a very beat up Purdue team. They looked explosive. And so they looked good so far, but they hadn't played anybody. And you go play an Iowa team, and you would never imagine that Nate Stanley is going to have the kind of game that he had against Michigan's defense turning the ball over. This defense of Iowa doesn't make a lot of mistakes. They play a cover two, cover four zone. They're going to be where they're supposed to be. And so Penn State's going to have to go earn it. I just want to see when they get in a tough position on the road, can Sean Clifford make the same plays that we've seen Trace McSorley make time and time again?
Can you bring that screen back up that just showed all the scores? Sorry, I'm kind of a little audible. Can you bring that up? Because we could talk about Sean Clifford, and we could talk about Trace McSorley, and we could talk about Saquon not being there. Joey, can you look in the right column right there and look at their defense? 13 is the most they've given up this season. Okay? This defense is legit. They're going to bring
Pollock,
their A game
Pollock,
every week.
Wait a second.
Yo, bro.
Wait a second. Are you talking about Idaho, Buffalo, Pitt, Maryland, Purdue without Rondale Moore? Me, you, and Marty can stop those teams. I mean, come
on,
Pollock.
Marty. I don't know about Marty, but me and you could. Anyways, I don't disagree.
It took me a second to get Marty out.
Charlotte.
I'm not sure either.
But no, I tell you what, I trust this defense to shut whoever they play down. And after watching Michigan absolutely destroy Iowa to the tune of 8 sacks and 4 turnovers, this Penn State defense will eat a lot.
Galloway's still out there running a bunch of sprints. Pollock's working out every 13 minutes, and I got a bum wheel. And there's a reason I have 4 years of eligibility left, gentlemen. All right. Revenge is sweet. Y'all remember this? Baker Mayfield planting the OU flag at the horseshoe? Yeah, he remembers it. We'll discuss. Our next UFC Fight Night on ESPN Plus is Saturday at 8 p.m. Eastern from Tampa with former champ Joanna Jędrzejczyk taking on Michelle Waterson in the strawweight main event. Future title fight on the line for the winner. To order the main card in English and Spanish, go to ESPNplus.com and be sure to download the ESPN app if you're watching on your mobile device.
The recruiting in today's game of football is out of control. When you have to send a recruit 500 letters because another school sent 450, so you want to look like you're just a little bit better. Oh my God. I mean, what are we doing? But you have to play that game. Coaches controlled this years ago, and now the recruits control it. I think that's the biggest difference. I mean, when my brother Bob was getting recruited, Bo Schembechler was in our house. And when he left, he was walking down the driveway. You know who was walking up the driveway? Woody Hayes. I mean, and you were like, my God, you know, this is unbelievable. Now it's like, what hoop does this coach have to jump through to appease this 18-year-old so he'll come to my friggin' school?
For every program, everything starts with the quality of the players that a team is able to recruit. And since college football's earliest days, recruiting has been one of the most critical and most controversial aspects of the sport. Tune in tonight as the American Game takes a closer look at recruiting. That's tonight, 7 p.m. Eastern Time on ESPN. Now, we showed you guys Baker planting the flag in the horseshoe just a couple of years ago. That was a controversial moment for Baker. He's had a few of those. I kind of like it myself. But on Monday Night Football, when Baker faced the 49ers, Nick Bosa, rookie defensive end from Ohio State, well, he had his own thoughts about planting the flag. Boom!
Oh, that's awesome. You got to love that, man.
You got to give him a lot of credit, fellas. That's thoughtful.
Do you think that
the Columbus fan base appreciates this?
Yes, exactly.
Columbus is all over this.
College, it doesn't matter how old you, I swear to you, being in the locker room with guys that were in the league for 15 years, their school still matters. The bets going back and forth, the trash talk. Kudos. I like it, Nick Bosa.
That's College Football Live. Thank you guys for hanging out. Have an amazing day. Kelly Bryant will play for Missouri against Ole Miss.